Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Elevated Conversations. I'm your host, Colby Jeffers, and I am so excited about launching a special series of the Elevated Conversations podcast. This is going to be called the Created Noble series, where we are going to be diving into my latest project, Created Noble, song by song, and I'm going to be bringing on special guests of people that made a significant contribution, whether through the inspiration of the project or the actual creation of the project. And bring them on and kind of going track by track, diving into the music, as well as just getting their perspective on their inspiration or contribution to the creation of the project. So I think it's going to be really cool. I think it's going to be really interesting and insightful and enjoyable, and will hopefully really enhance the experience of listening to the album and going back and listening again. So So this is going to be the first episode, episode one of the Created Noble series of the Elevated Conversations podcast. And so just to give a little bit of background, in case you're not aware, I'm assuming most of you are, but I recently released a new album called Created Noble. It's my fifth music project, and it specifically dives into the theme of nobility, as well as my journey as a husband and a father. My firstborn son's name is Noble, and also just the whole... ambition of trying to contribute to the betterment of the world. So all that kind of packed into a musical project. And so it's out. It's available on all streaming platforms. So if you have not listened to it, make sure to go do that. Just search up, Colby Jeffers, Created Noble, and it should be at the top of the list. And we're going to dive into the first track of the album, which is called You Are. And what better guest to bring on than my amazing wife, Mallory Quigg, who without her, the journey of fatherhood would not have been possible for me. So we're bringing her on, and this track, You Are, is really a love song to her, as well as my son, Noble, and really my children in general, and my love for God, all kind of wrapped into one song. So we're bringing her on to kind of share a little bit about her journey, and also, just get to hear about her kind of vantage point or her perspective on this whole music creation process. So we'll go ahead and start things off by giving you a listen to You Are, and then we'll bring on Mallory. So here is You Are.
Yo, at the time, I wasn't even looking for love. All the times before, left my heart feeling rough. Each time, I was self-destruct. But this time, got a little help from above. Hey, first time we met, you caught my eye. But the spark didn't catch, I won't lie. Just friends for a while, till that one night you agreed to be my Valentine. Started digging underneath the surface. Our seed of love germinated in the soil of service. Conversation started getting deeper, talking God, religion, and the spirit. I should've known you were a keeper. But then I got cold feet, wasn't ready to commit, so I started to retreat. I was acting like a fool, staying busy, trying to fight my fate. You told my aunt that I was worth the wait, dang. So I pulled it together, got back on track. I thank God that you took me back. Then we walked the path, study circles, pondering the word of God. Your heart was pure, embraced Baha'u'llah. As you caught the flame, I was reignited, till then just a Baha'i name. You brought me back to my destiny, and for that I owe you eternally. We stayed serving, praying and meditating, sailing through the ups and downs, persevering through the test, bending but never breaking. Told me you were ready to tie the knot, but I wasn't, and then I received a sign from God to give me the courage that I needed. I finally heeded, got our parents' blessings, got the ring, popped the question, you couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, the search for my soul may complete it. You are the one for me, the only one I need, you are my everything. This love was meant to be, heaven sent for me. Hey, hey, yeah. You are the one for me, the only one I need. You are my everything. This love was meant to be, heaven sent for me. I loved you before we even even met. I love you even though we never met. Me and your mom were ready to take the next step. After we agreed, thought we'd be set. But life doesn't always work that way. Sometimes God decides he's gonna test your faith. Month after month passed, waiting on the good news. But it didn't come, feeling bummed. You were still in queue. What your mom was going through took a toll on my heart. But I always knew you were gonna come from the start. Then we took a trip to a special place, 7,000 miles away. Pilgrimage to the Gebleh, praying for direction at that holy spot. As we bowed our heads and our spirits to Baha'u'llah, calling on him and the Bab and Abdu'l-Bahá, all the holy family to bless us with a family. Couple months passed, still patiently waiting. It had been a year since we started trying. I could feel the hope fading. And then one night your mom woke up in pain. Took it to the ER, what we heard was insane. The doctor said your mom was pregnant, you were still microscopic. Then they told us you were also ectopic. Went from joy to grief, your life on earth so brief. Felt like fate stole you like a thief. Had to learn contentment with God's will, it was a tough pill. But I know you're in a better place. We had to separate, but I know I'll see your face one day. And I know that you helped open the way for your baby brother. So I'm still feeling blessed, hope I'm up for the test. You know I love you both, two sons, one love. Looking out for one in this world with an angel up in the next. You are the one for me, the only one I need. You are my everything. This love was meant to be, heaven sent for me. Hey, hey, yeah. You are the one for me, the only one I need. You are my everything. This love was meant to be, heaven sent for me. I was created to know thee, worship thee, love thee. It's a lovely vision, wasn't always 2020. I was lacking precision to the guidance that you had given. Now I humbly listen, I know I'm programmed to love, not a myth. Didn't always love the right things, I plead the fifth. Going forth in my life, looking with my third eye on a search. Giving every second up to God to put him first, and let the rest just fall into place. But it's hard to make my deeds match my words. So many things to chase, even when I mess up. Wholly deprived of your grace, and it's hard to fess up, utterly powerless to praise. Through your bounty my hope is restored. You have never left my side, always there to be my guide. Give my heart to you forevermore. The only reason that I have a chance to love thee is that you love me. You are, you are the one for me, the only one I need. You are my everything. This love was meant to be, heaven sent for me. Hey, hey, yeah. You are the one for me, the only one I need. You are my everything. This love was meant to be, heaven sent for me. Yeah, you are the one for me, the only one I need. You are my everything. This love was meant to be, heaven sent for me. Hey, hey. Yeah, you are the one for me, the only one I need. You are my everything. This love was meant to be.
And again, that was You Are, the first track off my latest album, Created Noble. And I'm sure you heard at the beginning of the track, that was actually the first time we heard our son Noble's heartbeat at the ultrasound appointment, followed by Mallory commenting on how sweet it was to hear his heartbeat. So really, really special song. So yeah, so hope you enjoyed the first track. We are now going to jump into the interview with my lovely wife, Mallory Quigg. You're now listening to the Elevated Conversations podcast, brought to you by me, Colby Jeffers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Elevated Conversations podcast. We have the one and only Mallory Quigg, the love of my life, in the building.
Hello, everyone.
All right. This will be your third time on the podcast, and I'm really, really excited for this particular episode because it is part of a special series, which I mentioned in the intro, called the Created Noble series, related to the recent release, the new album. So we're going song by song on this particular series. And what better way to start off the opening track of the album, You Are, a love song about you, my wife, of course, our child Noble, and just in general, our children, as well as love for God. So very, very near and dear to my heart, this particular track. And so I thought, who else to bring on other than you, Mallory?
Thank
so
you. Congratulations on the new album, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and yeah, the goal of this podcast series is to really showcase people involved either in the project or in my life that have a big influence on the music, because there's so much more to it than just what you see on the surface. So, yeah, this first track is such an important one because it really introduces really the story of Created Noble, which is inspired by our son Noble. And you cannot have, you know, Noble without having, you know, you in the picture. Right. So, I really wanted to bring you on just to hear your thoughts and also have you share about, you know, what it's like from your perspective in terms of the creative process, as well as just share our story and all that good stuff. So why don't we first just start off by digging into the song? We just listened to it. The listeners just listened to it as well. Just share, you know, what are your like initial thoughts when you hear You Are, what feelings, what thoughts come to your mind?
Well, obviously the day Noble was born comes to mind because after everyone had left and we had our new baby in our arms, you played the song for me. And so that was just a really special moment because there was finally a song that was about me. And then just kind of a song that also acknowledges the fact that we've kind of been through this, you know, long journey of trying to get pregnant. And then there he is, you know, in our arms, finally, our baby Noble. And so that's the first thought that comes to my mind. And then it's funny, the second thought, which I know I've mentioned this to you, but I'll also mention it on this podcast because you asked, is it's, you say that it's about Noble. And I think that he's mentioned like in two lines of the song, you know, where it talks about, I loved you even before we met. And then at the end where it's like, you helped open the way for your baby brother. And then the rest of it is actually about, you know, our first spiritual child, mm-hmm. who we refer to as Jonathan, where we had an ectopic pregnancy. So I think a lot of it is about, you know, that soul. And, but, you know, I think that that's very symbolic. And I you address it in the song where it's like, he helped open the way for Noble to come. So those are just some of my initial thoughts on the song, but obviously it's beautiful to share a song with my son Noble and with God is obviously very flattering. So it's a beautiful song.
Wow. Well, thank you. There's so much to unpack in everything you just said. I'm not even sure where to start. I think, so obviously this song is coming out. Noel's 4 years old now, but it was written prior to his birth. So obviously, you know, everything that was written about, I had not experienced yet, you know, fatherhood really, and, or a relationship with Noble even, this was, you know, kind of on that process, but I found this to be such an important song to include on this project because it was that journey, you know, to getting to having a child. And just to kind of, I guess, go deeper into it. So the origins of this song, came from another, well, not entirely, but partially from another song, Hey Mama, that was on my Wisdom album, which is kind of this love's, you know, song for the earth. And I remember the first time that I had played it, not played it, but performed it
to me or to,
I performed it at an open mic. Of course, as I'm performing the song, you know, it was written in such a way for those of you that have not heard it, that it's like kind of this ode, this love song, but you don't know it's about the earth, you know, in the opening verse until the final punchline. And so as I'm reciting this, you know, I had never really written a love song for you or in general, really most of my music, was, you know, at that time and still mainly is really focused on, you know, creating positive change in the world. So everyone starts to look back at Mallory, who was also in attendance at this open mic, and they're thinking, oh, wow, Colby's, you know, really.
Oh, Mallory, you're so lucky.
Right. You know, Colby's, you know, sharing this love song for Mallory. And then the final verse of that particular, or the final line of that verse of the first verse is, this awesome woman I'm referring to, her name is Planet Earth. And so it was kind of this like weird moment of like, oh, whoa, that was really cool creatively, but oh, wow, I thought this was about Mallory.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
So, and Mallory knew, she had heard the lyrics before. So she, you know, this whole time everyone's looking back at her and she's like, oh, you don't know what you have in store. This is not about me, everyone.
But the thing too is though, that when you performed it to me the first time, just me alone, you didn't tell me it was about the planet Earth either. So you started saying all those lines, like she's so humble, filled with humility, rock steadfast. And I was like, okay, that could be about me. And then,
Oh, sorry. We just had a quick little mic blip there, but we are plugged back in. Okay. Continue, Mallory.
So anyways, when you performed it for me, which is just like you you know, said it, like it was almost spoken word, and you didn't tell me who it was about. So I was like, okay, all these lines kind of sound like they're about me. I'm his rock. I'm humble, steadfast. You know, I help make him stable. Her, and then you said her patience has got me in amazement. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's me. And then you kept going and going. And I'm like, no, that's definitely not talking about me anymore, because I don't have those qualities down yet. But, and then at the end, it was like, her name is Planet Earth. And I'm sure I was like, that's a nice song, but what about me?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Definitely go check out that song, Hey Mama, if you want to, you know, see if you could, at what point, you know, it's not about a person anymore. It's about Earth. But no,
not even just about a person, about me. Yeah. Like, I could think that that's about a person that exists in this world, but definitely not me.
Right. And when I was in the creative process of making Hey Mama, I definitely was not, you know, necessarily that conscious of that. I just thought, oh, this is a really cool idea. So as Mallory then shared that feedback, it was like a seed planted in my mind, like, okay, I have to make a love song for Mallory. And so that was kind of the origins of, you know, this idea of creating a song about my love for Mallory. But then, of course, through our whole experience of trying to get pregnant and have a child, and obviously our whole journey, there was just so much to the story. So this is quite a packed song lyrically. There's so much that goes into the story of this particular track. And so I had, you know, kind of started writing it. And then we were, you know, on our journey of trying to have a child. And obviously in the lyrics, you know, we had some difficulties and challenges with that. And so throughout that whole process of Mallory being pregnant, I continued writing this song, and I actually got it recorded, just kind of, you know, a rough version of it before the version that you hear now. And like Mallory said, the day Noble was born, obviously after, you know, we'll get more into that, but it was an epic experience. Mallory had a home birth at our home. Obviously after we had rested and, you know, we knew Noble was healthy and all that, and it was like, okay, cool. Like all the important stuff is in order. I wanted to share this song with Mallory. So, then I shared it and she got to hear it. And that was, about 4 years ago. So the song's been in the creative process for some time, and I'm excited now to finally have it out and be able to share it with the world. And, and before we jump into the story, I also just wanted to share, before that, you had actually written me a love song as a little fun fact. For, I don't remember which birthday that was, one of my birthdays multiple years ago. You know, Mallory's super creative about gift giving. And that's one thing I really appreciate about our relationship, is it's not based on really anything material. It's a lot more based on creativity and just putting your heart into something. And so Mallory actually wrote me a love song, a love rap, I should say, where she basically, talked about her love for me in the form of rap. And she found a beat on YouTube, wrote lyrics, and then for my birthday, she threw the beat on. And I honestly almost cried. It was so touching. So now we each have a love song that we can say we've written for each other.
And we recorded it on our amateur equipment that you bought.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah. So there's a recording of it as well. Maybe it'll have to get out on Spotify at some point when you start your rap career.
I don't know about that.
But with that said, I wanted to dive more into our story, because obviously this particular song, as I said, is packed with lyrics that are all about storytelling. The first verse is all about our journey together and falling in love. And then the second verse is our journey of, you know, trying to conceive a child. And then the third verse relates to my love for God, which is very much connected to our relationship, because the foundation of our relationship is built upon, you know, wanting to serve humanity, wanting to live a life that is of meaning and of purpose, as well as trying to, you know, be righteous and honor God and, you know, everything that we do. So, so with that said, I just wanted to kind of, maybe we can just kind of break down the lyrics a little bit. I start off the first verse talking about, you know, that I had my journeys of trying to find love early in life, and was really just kind of walking blind, not knowing what I was doing, had some really rough experiences, that did not end well. And then, you know, I wasn't really looking for love, as I said, and then, you know, we found each other, and that was in a program called AmeriCorps, which I don't know, Mallory, maybe you can share this. That was actually your second year serving in AmeriCorps. Maybe just share a little bit about it so people know kind of the foundations of our friendship, at least.
It's a domestic Peace Corps. A domestic Peace Corps meaning, like, Peace Corps is international. So this is domestic, meaning it's just with service within the United States. And it has so many different, you know, areas of service that you can choose. Colby and I both chose education, and we taught people who were in need of their GEDs or learning English. And it's also something where you get paid just below the poverty line. So then that way you're kind of, it's kind of like a humbling thing where you're getting paid at the same amount as people you might be serving. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like puts people at an even level. And I think that that's a really beautiful part of it, but it is such an amazing program. I am just so in love with AmeriCorps, the people that you meet, the friendships that I've made. I found a husband, but just the experiences that it gives you, like it really believes that people at whatever level can contribute to the betterment of the world. And it just gives you that opportunity to run with that. So it's a really wonderful program. But yeah, Colby and I think that we met in the teaching realm. And obviously we didn't start this program thinking we'd find our soulmate. And I remember on our first day of work, I mean, if we're just going to jump right into the story,
yes,
on our first day of work, you know, but you always kind of scope out your options when you're in a new place, like, oh, okay, look at that guy, he's older, he's married, you know, too short, something like that. So when I saw Colby and he was really friendly, I didn't know who he was because it's our first day and he's walking down the hall like he kind of owns the place, you know. So I remember that. And so I thought, oh, this guy must already work here. And Colby said to me, oh, are you here for AmeriCorps? And I was like, yeah. And that was it. I just kept going because I was like, yeah, you know, what of it? I don't know why. But then I sat down and discovered he was also a part of AmeriCorps. And I remember thinking, okay, Colby is the best looking guy here. But I also said, okay, but he also looks a little bit like my brother.
Oof.
And because of like two specific facial features, they have very like round cheeks. Like I also have round cheeks. And also we all have butt chins, you know, we have dimple chins. So I have one, but my brother has one and so does Colby. And then I think at the time, like maybe, no, I was going to say hair, but never mind. But yeah, so just like a little bit like my brother. So I was like, no, not interested. If anyone looks like my brother, no, thank you. So that's like our first impression right there.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah. So and kind of going back to the lyrics very similarly, I say, you know, first time we met, you caught my eye. I remember that first day as well. And, you know, yeah, I'm not going to lie. Very similar. You know, you go into a new environment,
like
you're single.
No,
not at all. but no, that, you know, you kind of, you know, you're just looking around, seeing who, you know, if anyone, catches your eye. And as I said, you know, you definitely caught my eye. I remember actually seeing you in the parking lot from what I remember and asking you, hey, are you with AmeriCorps? And that, yeah. So you just kind of, yep. And then kept walking, you know, so the spark didn't catch. As I say, but, and then, yeah, I think I tried to sit next to you, you know, the second day and that you, and then our facilitator, our AmeriCorps leader said, oh, you know, why don't you sit next to someone you didn't meet yesterday. So then you decided to get up and move. So I was kind of like, ah, dang, you know, this girl's really playing hard to get here. And then, but yeah, so we kind of just, you know, it was just a friendship early on. Then we had a couple of experiences where, you know, I guess our friendship, you could say, was tested a little bit, but that ultimately I think led us to be closer. And then, yeah. And then on a particular, so this was in September that we met of 2010 and then February of 2011 on Valentine's Day, we kind of went out on our first date, I guess you could call it. It wasn't necessarily considered that to begin with, but then after the time as friends together in which we went mini golfing, got dinner and got frozen yogurt, we kind of were like, hey, that was, you know, that was kind of a date, I guess. And
no, it was a date, absolutely. Because
right. But I don't know that it was like, hey, do you want to go out on a date with
it
me?
Was
for Valentine's?
Absolutely. Was it? Okay. Yeah, it was like, excuse me. Will you be my Valentine? That's what you said to me.
Is that what I said?
I swear, like in a text or something, you were texting me and you're like, you know, will you be my Valentine?
Okay.
And I was like, okay. And then the question that night was after our lovely date was,
So what are we?
You know, and I was shy and you said, what did he say? Like, what are we? You want to be boyfriend, girlfriend? And I said, yes. And
there you
then
go.
That was it.
How romantic.
Here we are. Yeah.
So that's, yeah, that's how it began.
It was really sweet.
I thought so. That was a sweet first date that we had. And we had gone on a couple road trips before that together, just as friends to Tonto Natural Bridge State Park and Karchner Cavern State Park in Payson and Tucson respectively. And those were really, really nice experiences together. And I remember you said, you called your mom and said, I could really see myself going on a lot more road trips with this guy. Was that, was that the quote? Yeah. So, so that was good. So that was confirmation. And so, yeah, then, you know, we kind of, as it says, our, the seed of love germinated in the soil of service. So as AmeriCorps was such a beautiful place for us to meet together, because, you know, so many relationships, it's just about, you know, going out on dates and kind of having fun, right? Like, let's just really focus on entertainment, go watch a movie, go to dinner, go to, you know, this amusement park or whatever, you know, watch Netflix together. And for us, obviously there was parts of that, but also it was like, hey, we're serving together. We're trying to, you know, make the world a better place together. And then, yeah, like, I think one of the things that I just remember so, so intensely is that you were the one, really the first friend I can remember where talking about God, religion, spiritual things was like really normal to you and like excited you, you know? And it was just like, wow, there are actually people out there that like to talk about this stuff. Because for me, you know, growing up, I grew up in the Baha'i faith, but most of my friends growing up weren't really into that kind of thing, weren't into talking about those things. And I even remember, you know, vividly certain times where I would bring up something spiritual. Like I remember one time I asked some friends like, hey, what do you guys think happens after we die? And they just thought it was so weird to ask that question, you know, which, yeah,
I can understand
that, but at the same time, it's like, it is weird, but it's not, because we're all going to die. Like, this is a question we should consider, and it has huge implications for our life. So, so for you, you know, this, you're the first person, first friend that wanted to talk about those things. So we kind of hit it off on a spiritual level as well as a service level. But then, you know, I think because of the fact that I wasn't really looking for a partner at that time, I was, you know, I'd come out of three long-term relationships that, like I said, did not end well. And so, I got cold feet. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, is this, you know, really what I want to get into? And I retreated. I ended up saying that I needed some time, on my own. And I know that was really tough for you, you know, and a really difficult experience for you. And then, which, you know, if you want to dive into that, feel free, no pressure. But I remember, yeah, then there was this moment where, you know, we were still kind of friends and trying to navigate that. We had gone to some service, activity together. And then, you came over to my house and my aunt was there, my Aunt Lolly, shout out to Aunt Lolly. And, Lolly talked with you. And then I think, I can't remember what I was doing. I was doing something. And then you guys had a brief private conversation, and she asked you, because she kind of knew what had happened between us.
Well, if you don't mind,
please. What did she say to you? Give us the firsthand account.
I just want to like preface that by saying that, you know, just to even go back to the beginning, that Colby was my first relationship. I mean, I had been on a couple dates, but I'm not saying that I'm picky, but that if it doesn't feel natural, or if I feel scared, then I don't pursue things, you know, like relationships specifically. And so with a lot of guys, it just kind of felt like, okay, you know, he's looking for this and I'll just pretend to be that right now, but I'm not, you know, that's not who I am. So this isn't going to go any further. And I kind of always just thought like, maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe I'm just not meant to be. I even told myself if by 30, which I'm 32 now, so by 30, if I have never had a relationship yet, then I'm just going to become a nun. And I was very serious about that, because I actually was like very,
Sister Mallory,
I was heavily practicing the Christian faith at the time. So I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I would love that. I love God. Like, I will be married to my faith. And, so then I met Colby, and like we already talked about, we were just such sincere friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were moments where I was like, ugh, you know, I don't even know if I like this guy as a friend, you know, just moments where we tested each other in our friendship, and then we overcame those. And then after several months, of being friends, I was like, man, I really like this guy. Like, things are easy. Things feel natural with him. I've never felt this way with a guy before, because so often you just, it's hard to be friends with the opposite sex, you know, if you're attracted to the opposite sex, then it's hard to be friends with them sometimes for some people. Mm-hmm. Because then you start thinking, maybe he likes me. Mm-hmm. And I think with you and I, to start off, it maybe was like that for like we both had like a day. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, nah. And, and then it just gradually turned into that over time. And so by the time that you broke up with me, which was only 2 months into our relationship, and I was like head over heels, because this was my first experience with a boyfriend, you know, my first like real, I mean, I like the, a kiss where you're like, I think I love this guy, you know? And so just all those feelings that come with that attachment to the other person I had with you. So when you broke up with me, you know, part of me was like, okay, 2 months, first relationship, Mallory, it's so sad. Like, this is your first heartbreak, but it happens. No. And, but then I was like, oh, but like, this is so special, you know? And we worked together, so we had to see each other. And so when you and I were friends, I think that you and I kept texting after you broke up with me. And then finally it seemed like you were coming around and you made up some excuse like, oh, do you want to go buy, help me find a suit for an interview for your Teach for America. And I was like, okay. And I knew you didn't need my help. I mean, I'm not a fashionista. So I knew you just wanted to hang out with me. So then we got the suit or something. And then we were with your aunt and you went outside and your aunt was like, Mallory, why are you waiting around for this guy? That's exactly what she said. Why are you waiting around for him? And I just said, well, you know, because to me, he's worth the wait. Like, I just loved all of our experiences for the past, I think at that point, we had known each other for 8 months or so. So I knew you were worth the wait. And it's, you know, in that moment, I'm sure your aunt was like, psh, what do you know about love, you know? But look at where we are now. Yeah. I mean, it was true. Like, you were worth the wait. And now we have this beautiful life together with beautiful children and community. And yeah, it was true.
Yeah. So worth the wait, right? I mean, when Mallory told me that story and Lolly affirmed that story, that was a very powerful moment on my soul. And yeah, that was, you know, it was a very, I'm very lucky that it worked out the way that it did, because I did not necessarily play the cards very well, but because I was, I guess, just lucky and blessed, it ended up working out. And I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Mallory, but there was also a very, very impactful experience that does not speak well to my character at that time in particular. But after we had kind of, you know, quote unquote, broken up or whatever, which I think I was also kind of like stringing you along because I knew deep down, you know, I wasn't really ready to let go, but I also wasn't ready to commit either, which is, you know, an interesting place to be in. But at that time, there was a girl that friend requested me on Facebook that I did not know. And, you know, caught my attention visually. And you know, just for a little context, I was not someone who got much attention from girls at all growing up in, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school. That was not a strength of mine. So I think that's something that, you know, if I get that attention, I might be more susceptible to like, oh, you know, getting excited about it. And so even though I said I wasn't ready for a relationship, didn't want to be in a relationship at the time, you know, this girl reaches out to me and, you know, all of a sudden now we're going to go on a date, which again, does not speak well on my character at that time. But
because you told me you wanted to break up because you didn't want to be in a relationship.
Yeah. So clearly I was confused young person, just trying to figure out, you know, what it is I'm supposed to be doing. But anyway, I go out on this date and I'm so grateful that I did, because it was the worst date of my life. It was just absolutely terrible.
What's her name?
Yeah. Not going to
give her a shout out.
Not going to do that. But yeah, so we go out on this date, and the whole time we're on the date, she's just talking about what I should mention, that we had a mutual friend. So she's talking about this mutual friend the entire date. And then I find out that they had, you know, some feelings for each other at one point, which I did not know going into the date. So that was really awkward and just really like off-putting. And then she just made some really insensitive comments, like not exactly directed towards me, but just in general, that I was like, oh my gosh, like that's really intolerant and just like, ugh, like again, really off-putting. And all I could think of at that time was, oh my God, Mallory is such an amazing human being. As you said, like, you know, like as a friend, as a partner, just as a soul. And it just confirmed it. It made it really clear to me. And that, so kind of the experience with my Aunt Lolly and then this date that I went on really just put things in clear perspective for me. And I'm the kind of person that when things are clear, I move really fast. When things are not clear, I get anxiety. It's hard for me to move. And so these experiences made it really clear. And then, as I said, I pulled it together, got back on track, and we ended up rekindling the love and getting back together. And as I say, thank God you took me back, because that ultimately that was your choice to take me back, and you did. And from there, again, shout out to Aunt Lolly. Lolly had suggested on kind of a spiritual level, since, you know, we had this spiritual connection, she suggested that we do the Ruhi books together, which for those of you that are not familiar with those, they're a series of courses inspired by the Baha'i faith, the teachings of the Baha'i faith. And they had been around for some time at that point. As a Baha'i youth, I had heard about this Ruhi Institute, but I'd never partaken in it. Not sure the right word there, but so Mallory, myself, and then my cousin Nick, who's my Aunt Lolly's son, shout out to Nick, and my dad all did the Ruhi courses together with a Baha'i friend, Nafis Samandari. Shout out to Nafis. He walked us through Ruhi book one, and we had these amazing spiritual conversations. And I saw Mallory in service and her pure heart to just want to serve people and transform our community. And then I saw her in the study circle setting where she's having these spiritual conversations, reflecting, and just pure-heartedly wanting to discover truth, you know, which in terms of spirituality, like, that's what it's all about. It's about being open, having open heart, open mind, and trying to find truth, wherever that truth may be. And after we studied book one, you were really attracted to the Baha'i teachings and the Baha'i faith, and you ended up declaring as a Baha'i, which was something that I know for me, you know, was something that I never wanted to put any pressure on you. You know, religion is one of those really personal things. And so it's, you know, when you're together in a partnership, you don't want to feel like you're embracing a religion because of your partner, right? Right. You want it to be something that's fully you and God or that religion. And so you embrace the Baha'i faith without any kind of pressure for me, which was really affirming and confirming for me that we shared that belief. And as I said, you know, till then I was just a Baha'i in name. I really was not living the Baha'i teachings. I wasn't serving the Baha'i faith. I wasn't actively doing anything for the Baha'i faith. And so you kind of brought me back to that, which at this point in my life, as you said, you know, 10, 15, almost 15 years later now, it's like, it's the core of our life. You know, like wanting to serve humanity through the framework and teachings of the Baha'i faith, which we believe is the ultimate solution to the world's problems. Yeah. So that was huge that our the foundation of our relationship started with service and faith and spirituality in that really, really profound way. And as I said, because of that, I owe you eternally. Like you attracted me back to what my true purpose and destiny was. Mm. And so I got that, and I got the love of my life in one giant gift from God, which is just so something that, you know, it's amazing. It's awe-inspiring.
Yeah. And I think that, like, in terms of how this all connects to our relationship and just the strength of our love for each other. You know, if we were to just be connected to each other for something that we have in common materially, like, oh, we both really liked AmeriCorps, or we both really like to go on day trips or road trips, which we do. I think that could only take us so far. I think that if you were to, you know, show me some of your, you know, qualities that aren't as desirable, and all we had was this love for traveling, I don't think that would have been enough to keep us together. Mm. I really don't. And I know that you agree. And I know tons of people know that, and they've experienced it. When you don't have something very strong and foundational tying you together, it's much easier for you to break. So it was, you know, such a blessing that your Aunt Lolly recommended us to do Ruhi, because that introduced me to the Baha'i faith even more than, you know, your and my conversations. And I fell in love with it. It just kind of felt like this missing piece in my spirituality and my spiritual path, which I'm still working on, of course, but just a missing piece to this path that I could then, you know, continue down. That was like, okay, this is what makes sense to me, you know, like, that all the religions come from God, and that in the Baha'i writings, just to kind of like move it forward to our being married, it talks about when you get married to somebody, you're not only married, you know, physically, it's not like just a physical bond, it's a spiritual bond, that we are united spiritually, our souls are becoming one. And I think that, so to go on in the song, you know, it talks about how we sail through the ups and downs, bending but never breaking. I think just especially now, and I'm sure it influenced us back then before we were married too, it just is what keeps us going, right? So when you and I, we've only been tested more and more severely as mm-hmm. we continue to, you know, go each year of our marriage, that when I look back to the Baha'i writings, to you know, what God says about marriage and forgiveness and, you know, bonds of unity. I just, that those are the things that get me through those difficult times. My love for you is always there, but I think partnered with the Baha'i writings, like that's what is what keeps us together.
Yeah, 100%. I 100% agree with that. And we definitely have had, yeah, many, many challenges, many tests, as is normal with any relationship. You kind of, you know, see the nitty gritty full on human being that, you know, not everyone gets to see that, you know, full side of you. And with that, yeah, comes a lot of tests, and the Baha'i faith as a foundation, and that spiritual foundation has been absolutely essential. So, well, yeah, just to maybe finish off this particular verse, then I'd love to get at least a little bit into the second verse about our journey trying to conceive a child. Kind of sign I got from God, which I thought was a really, really pivotal point in our relationship as well, which was that, funny enough, you had said you were ready to get married multiple times to me, but that you wanted me to be the one to propose to you, which is also just interesting, kind of like how people get married and kind of the rituals that we've created, yeah, in terms of like who has to say what and whatnot. But I really appreciated the fact that you told me that, you know, okay, it was more of a consultation as opposed to just this like conversation not happening. And then all the pressure was on me. So there was pressure on me, but it was in a way where it was like, okay, whenever I'm ready, like you're ready. And
one
so
huge pressure that was taken off of you was the ring.
Yes. So you even said, yes, I have the ring. Even my mom has the ring. It's my grandma's ring.
Great grandma's ring.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. So all that was in place for me. So I had no excuse at this point to not be ready, but I was just, you know, the typical pressures that I think are put on men in particular of like, you know, I didn't have a good paying job. I was still in college. I was still living at home, all these different things where it's like, oh, I'm not ready. You know, I'm not fully a man.
Maybe yet. When I'm here, maybe when I'm living alone, well, maybe right. when I finish my master's degree.
Yeah. So I had all these excuses. And then one day, you know, Mallory and I had adopted this practice, which we still do off and on, of there's these, you know, virtue cards that the Virtues Project puts out. And we would pick a virtue at the start of the week. And that virtue would be the virtue we'd focus on to try and just, you know, be a better human being, basically. And the thing was like our third week doing it. And your virtue was unity that week and mine was courage. And the moment I picked up the virtue card of courage, the first thought that went in my head was you need to, you know, get it done and propose to Mallory because fear is what's holding you back, nothing else. And so I think the next day I called Mallory's mom and her dad to ask for consent to marry Mallory. I talked to my parents. I got consent of all parties. And then Mallory's mom, Beth, sent me the ring in the mail and I got it later that week. And then that Sunday, I was like, how am I going to do this? I wanted the proposal to be, you know, special, but not too over the top. Cause sometimes you see these proposals that are just crazy and it's like more about the performance as opposed to the actual, you know, meaning of it. So I was like, how am I going to do this? So I didn't have it fully really planned out, but Sunday night, we were just reflecting together on how the week went and we were asking each other. And I think I asked her like, you know, how united were you this week? And she was sharing. And then I was kind of fumbling around in my closet, trying to find the ring.
No, you were fumbling around in your drawer.
In my and drawer.
I remember it was like, we were like, I think we just finished Knights of Enlightenment or something, like a movie program we put on. And it, so it was like later in the evening. And I was like, why is he folding clothes? Like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. So I'm fumbling around. I get the ring. And then Mallory asked me the softball question. And she goes, what was the most courageous thing you did this week? And I was like, oh, yes. Here we go. Don't miss. Don't strike out here. So then I said, oh, well, and then, you know,
Did I tell you that I called your parents and asked if I can marry you?
Yeah. So I that's what I said. And of course, Mallory, I thought she was, yeah, you were like all in disbelief, which I was like, really? You were like waiting for this. So I think she started, you know, if you cried or not. No, you didn't cry. But you were really touched and yeah.
But your cousin was outside of
that's
the
right.
door
my
and
cousin
he was
Nick.
Recording it. No,
and
it
Amanda
was just
was
on the
crying.
Phone. Yeah,
Amanda was crying on the phone. Shout out to that Amanda.
But you know, you were so scared you forgot to open the box.
Yeah, I didn't
you
open the box.
Me a box.
I handed her a box with a ring inside of it because I was really nervous. And then of course opened it after that. And then inside was the ring. So and she said yes. So that was the origins of our love story. And I don't want this podcast to be too long. So let's jump in the second verse, conceiving a child, which is obviously what then relates to having, you know, Noble being born. And so we,
I don't know what, how many years into our marriage? We got married in 2013. And then in 2015, kind of similarly, you were like, hey, oh, I'm ready to have a kid.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I wanted them young. And it's hilarious because I said, oh, let's be 26. I'd be 26 and you'd be 28, Colby. And that's when we'll have a kid. And you know, before you have a kid, you're like, oh yeah, one and done. Like, we are going to have a kid right away. And no, that wasn't our situation. So you, Colby, originally said, no, I'd like to be 30 and I'd like you to be 28, Mallory. And I was like, oh, 30, no. And it just so happened. Maybe you manifested it because you said it. That's exactly what happened. I was 28 when I had Noble and you were 30.
Yeah. But with that said, so yeah, you were telling me you were ready. And then I think we started actively trying to have a child, you know, about a year before 26,
I think.
Yeah. You were 26. I was 28 or so. And we just had, a lot of difficulty. It wasn't as, you know, as easy as it is for some people.
This is a good plug for people to go back to the podcast where we talked about Justice being born.
There we go. Yeah. There's a podcast about our birth story.
The story of this, go into the story there.
Yeah. So, so we struggled. And then we took a trip to the Holy Land of the Baha'i Faith in Haifa and Acca, Israel. And we went to the holy spots and we prayed. Everywhere we went, we prayed for a child. And and of course it was a very spiritual, very just rejuvenating, comforting time. And Mallory, as she shares in that other episode, but just to share it here, you were in the gardens of the Shrine of Baha'u'llah, mm-hmm. which is like kind of, you know, the holiest spot. The Shrine of Baha'u'llah is the holiest spot for Baha'is. Mm-hmm. And while you were in those gardens, you prayed and asked Baha'u'llah fervently, please, I want a child.
Well, I prayed in the shrine and then I thought, okay, I'm going to walk around. And we both met up. We said, okay, let's walk around. Let's meditate. Let's listen. When you pray, you talk. Now it's time to listen. Mm. And so I just walked around and heard a few things first regarding my grandma, regarding, you know, just service in the community. And then I heard, you're going to have a child and you should name him Noble. And then I thought, okay, sounds good. And so then
So then
I went to Colby and I said, Colby, guess what? We're going to have a child and we should name him Noble. And I remember Colby saying, I like that name. Okay. So I think, we said it in the other podcast and I don't remember now. That was like 8 months before we got pregnant. Yeah,
that was June of 2015. And then,
it was like around maybe 6 months to a year later, then we got pregnant.
Yeah.
But before that, like we mentioned before in the other podcast we had, or in this song, I should say, sorry, we had an ectopic pregnancy. And because in the Baha'i writings, it talks about how a soul is associated with a egg, you know, at conception, that we decided that this was a soul that was still a part of our life and our family. And we named the soul, not knowing the gender at all, but just Jonathan was our chosen name for that soul. And so we still
there's more to that story as well. You know,
there's a lot more to that story, but you have to go pick up our children from your parents' house.
Yeah, recording these podcasts are quite the arrangement. All right. Well, we'll go quick into this story, 'cause I think it's such an important one. It's not really reflected in the lyrics of the song, but we had this ectopic pregnancy, or Mallory had this ectopic pregnancy rather, and it was a, you know, very emotional experience. I touch on it in, later on in the album, but it was something where it was like, oh my God, you know, we can get pregnant.
It was bittersweet
because we can get pregnant and wow, what a bounty to, you know, create a child, but it's not going to be able to survive. But it was so fast, you know, because some miscarriages, you know, you can get very, very attached. It can be later on in the pregnancy, whereas ours was very quick. Yeah. So it was this very intense emotional experience. But then shortly after that, on a trip into nature, which is a place that we go to often to, you know, kind of refresh our spirits. On the way back, we ran into a chance encounter with someone that we had met, not that long ago, who was kind of a seer of sorts. And,
it was like an intuitive.
There we go. And he was sharing that, you know, we kind of got into this conversation about child, you know, pregnancy and wanting to have a child.
Well, no, we did not actually. I'm so sorry.
He opened it up.
Yes.
He opened it up. So he looked at you and said, you want to have a child.
Okay. And it's more intense than that.
Okay, please.
What it is that you guys were just, I don't even know what you were talking about because I was not involved in the conversation. I was eating my affogato and that's it. And then he's just talking about how he's an intuitive. That's what it was. And I remember thinking, okay, if this, I could ask him, Mallory, ask him if he's an intuitive, he would probably be able to say that he could see into my future and if I'm going to have a kid. And I was like, no, that's not authentic. Don't do that, Mallory. But then he just started doing it on his own. He started talking to Colby about some situation, which may or may not have manifested itself in Colby's life. But then he turned to me. And again, I was not a part of this conversation at all. I didn't know this guy from Adam, and he didn't know me. And he just said, and you want to have a baby. And I see him. I see him like I see you in front of me right now. And he's coming soon. Maybe 3 or 4 months from now, you're going to have a baby. And I was like, thank you, God. And I, you know, regardless if he was right or not, I just took it as confirmation from God. Like, Mallory, calm down. You will have a baby. Everything's going to be okay. But then him and I talked the entire time. And then Colby was sitting.
I enjoyed my affogato.
Yeah, he enjoyed his affogato. But
which is a cappuccino with ice cream.
Yeah. But it was just such a confirming moment where I was like, okay. And he was like, he was right. I think it was about 3 or 4 months later, we got pregnant. And then we knew, okay, this is him. This is Noble. You know, and it took us 20 weeks to figure out that it was a boy. But we knew it was Noble. And as soon as we found out it was a boy, we were like, yep, here's Noble.
Yeah. Well, and that soul that, because he said that it was, the name was Jonathan, in that experience, which was, you know, a bit odd. And then I remember Mallory calling her mom shortly after that and expressing the whole story. And then her mom kind of gasped and said, when you were a kid, you told me you always wanted to have a boy and name him Johnny. So just really kind of bizarre, like almost eerie in a way. But then, you know, we, of course, you know, we have a marriage counselor we were seeing at the time just to work through our own stuff. And
the
of course,
ups and downs.
The ups and downs, right? You need help sometimes. And so one thing she suggested, shout out to Katrine, she suggested that we give a name to the soul. And so of course we, you know, at that point thought, okay, Jonathan, that's this soul's name. So Jonathan has a special place in our life. And, and yeah, as we'll, I'm sure, get more into in future episodes, you know, we then later had a second ectopic pregnancy and that soul's name is August. And then after that, Justice was our second born child, Justice, is now in our life. And that's not necessarily reflected in this song because it was written before Noble was born, but that's where we're at now. And it kind of shows you how long it takes sometimes for these creative expressions to kind of fully manifest themselves. So,
and for the babies to manifest themselves.
Exactly. Indeed. So yeah, I think that brings us all the way to the end of the kind of the track itself, at least for the first couple of verses. And then of course we get into our love for God, which I think we really touched upon that's really at the core of our relationship. And it's, you know, who we can turn to when we have these difficulties or when we want to express gratitude, and just, yeah, get things off our soul that are giving us anxiety or trouble. So thanks everyone for listening. Before we end the episode, I do want to ask you a question here, Mallory, which is, because again, this is all about this concept of nobility and noble. And so I wanted to ask you, what does it mean to be created noble?
Well, I have just a very short answer. It's just having, like, we were born with this innate ability to do good things, to do the right thing. So when you're put in a situation, especially when you're tested and, you know, you want to make a decision that is selfish or it's just immoral or, you know, it benefits you and harms someone else, that you decide to not give in to those temptations and you do the right thing. And that to me is being created noble.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Mallory, for coming back on the podcast and sharing all those beautiful anecdotes, sentiments, and thoughts and insights. I love you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me in your office.
Of course. Well, I hope you all enjoyed that episode.
I love you too.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you. So yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And we will have another episode for the Create a Noble series coming on next week. I'll see you then.
Bye.